Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, card collectors of all ages, now it's time for Rock'em Sock'em Hockey Cards. Here's your host, Ed Kite. Holy moly, Chris Campoli, Tyler Toffoli, we are back with episode, I think this is three. It's getting cloudy, especially with being bombarded with all this hockey. Hockey is back. Hockey season has returned since last we chatted. Lots of goings on and since midweek. In the NHL, some hat tricks. The great Connor McDavid got a hat trick. Boy, there's a surprise. And the great eight, Alex Ovechkin, I believe also had a hat trick. A lot of big scores. Could we be returning back to the middle 80s, early 90s, 5-4 scores? I don't know. So we shall see what we shall see. My name is Ed Geik. The chat room is a buzz here. I'd like to welcome Jeff Diamond back into the chat room from Kitchener, Ontario. And Jeremy, who I've traded with in the past. Jeremy is a Colorado Avalanche fan, and his Avalanche absolutely stifling the New York Rangers on opening night in Madison Square Garden and gaining a victory, 4-2 victory, so he must be happy. It's always good to get on the board, especially with the Avalanche, who are not predicted to do all too well, but you never know in the game of hockey. That's why they play the games. So, you are at Rock'em Sock'em Hockey Cards. We're going to talk, got several issues I'd like to talk about. I'd like to get some business out of the way right off the bat. I would like to thank, and I really do appreciate these people at the Sports Card Forum. They have facilitated a way for me to get my broadcasts promoted there and linked there and all that good technological stuff. And I would especially like to thank Scott and Patriots guy over there for helping me out. And I certainly will reciprocate in turn as well as much as I can. And I would like to have some of their hockey people on and talk, obviously, hockey cards. We also, next week, I'm going to have Russ Cohen. He's authored many hockey books. Books on the Winter Classic. He also wrote 100 Ranger Greats. He also does a prospect program on XM, Hockey Prospects. I want to get him on the show for one reason and one reason only. I want to know, out of this crop of draft, what guys I should be going for in the young guns crop. I know it's not. It was considered a weak draft. But Upper Deck Series 1 is just around the corner. So I want to know who to collect. I want the first couple of guys. I want the ones I can get on the cheap. Let's face it. Hockey cards collect. I've said this again on the previous shows. Hockey card collectors are, we like a bargain. And what's wrong with that? So last week we touched on artifacts. And we told you about the redemptions and this and that and stuff like that. And so we're going to kind of move on from artifacts, leave that. Stuff is on the open market. It's been released. You can go on eBay. You can, peruse whatever you want to peruse over there. There's some nice memorabilia cards in there as well. But the redemptions are pretty much for the players that were drafted in this previous year. I don't think there's a rookie set. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure there isn't. So I feel kind of like, you got a lot of futuristic movies being released. You got being made. You got the Blade Runner with Harrison Ford and all this stuff. And, I'm an older gentleman, an older gent, as they say. So in the world of technology, sometimes it conflicts with me. I'm a meat and potatoes guy. I like the physical things. I like things I can touch, things I can feel. That's why I like hockey cards. I can grab it, this and that. I'd like to talk about the Upper Deck EPAC. Now, I don't know how many people are familiar with this. I am not well versed in the EPAC. I know some rudimentary stuff about it. It sounds just like another way to make a buck, but I'm sure there are people that enjoy it. And let me try to impart the knowledge as I know it. Now, this is something people who are living in the digital age, and, I've begrudgingly come along, and I'm part of the digital age where I know a lot of people in my age group have totally dismissed the digital age. They don't want to deal with it. They buried their head in the sand. But me, it's hockey cards. You got my attention. That's the way I look at it. So Upper Deck has this EPAC, which are basically digital card. It's digital card collecting. And you can go on the Upper Deck EPAC site and actually sign up, put your email address, your firstborn's name, whatever you have to do. And you actually can start a collection. Now, I know they give you daily free packs, and then and I don't know how many cards are in these free packs. I haven't checked it out yet. But apparently that if you want a copy, a physical copy of the card, now they get stored in your smartphone, on your desktop, whatever they get stored in, and you get like a digital image of a card. And I guess they have certain cards that are unavailable in the general set that is released, the physical set, if you will, that is released. So, I could check that out now, but I'll check it out a little bit later or while we're doing, something else is going on. So you get these cards and you have the option to purchase them if you want the physical card. Okay. It's not my thing. Also, you can purchase packs as well. If you want to purchase a digital pack of Upper Deck, well, not right now, but say you want Upper Deck MVP, you can do that. My personal belief is this, is that I'm old school. I'm completely old school with this. I want something I could touch and feel. I feel like this is probably a money grab, most likely designed by some corporate weasel to get more money. But then again, and I want to say kids today, the younger generation embraces this. You go to school, you can't bring all your cards with you. You're sitting there in homeroom. You want to show your friend your collection? Boom, right on top of there, you can show your friend Jimmy, your friend Stacy, whatever. Hey, look what I got! I got a nice, purple parallel of Drew Doughty. I now can show my friends, and I've seen these things on eBay. These color wheels from last year's OPG Platinum, and I'm like, what is this all about? And I know they weren't in the base set, but they were available through these EPACs, and the EPAC, then you could get a physical copy of the card, and then they would show up on eBay, and I'd be like, what is this? this color wheel. So it's an interesting thing. Not my thing, but I just felt like I should make you guys aware of it, because that's just the type of guy I am. I want to let everybody know everything. Now, I don't know everything. Feel free to chime in. If I do not know, I don't know at all, and I don't pretend to know at all, and any information you can impart to me would be magnificent. Colin Cook has now joined the chat. I got to give this man a standing ovation. Colin Cook, the king of memes, is here. Very good, Colin. Glad to see you in the chat room. Colin, a big fan. So that pretty much gives me, wraps up the EPAC. I thought it was kind of unusual, and I don't know whether it's going to have legs, but, once again, I'm sure Upper Deck is trying to probably milk as much money as they can out of everybody. And listen, it may have a niche or niche, depending on how you pronounce it. Now, we do have a Facebook group. If you want to join the Facebook group, if you're a Facebook person, Rock'em Sock'em Hockey Cards Facebook group, do a search on it. I could link it later. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But on this Facebook group, we've had some people asking me for prices on cards. And of course, John Newman, who's a colossal pain in my tuchus, forever, for 10 years, gives me like a slew of cards to price out for him. Now listen, John, lay your money down, subscribe to Beckett, go to Sports Card Forum, make some friends over there, whatever you got to do. But don't post 35 cards on the freaking Facebook thing. I'm not here to price out every card. But I am a nice guy, and I will oblige John Newman, because he actually took me to a Ranger game for free once. So this is my payback to you. Although the seats were obstructed, and he was drunk out of his mind. So, John's good people. John gave, let me look at a, he had a couple Ryan McDonough rookie cards. And we discussed about how defensemen usually, especially guys who are not big scorers, they're solid investments, but they're not investments that are going to go to skyrocket. Unless you have the Erik Karlssons. Chris Letang's, even to go back further. You really got to look for offensive defensemen. P.K. Subban, especially when he was with Montreal. These are the guys that really take off in price. So, John Newman, who... he sank a lot of his fishnagels, a lot of his escarole into Ryan McDonough in his rookie year, which I think was 2010, 2011, as far as the sets he was released in. And so he went that route. And let's face it, I don't know if you guys know. I know a couple of people in the chat room, but Ryan McDonough was probably the biggest steal ever in Ranger history, and could be one of the biggest deals in hockey history. He's basically a throw-in in a Scott Gomez trade, where the Rangers sent Scott Gomez to Montreal as basically a salary dump, and somehow the Rangers managed to get from then GM Bob Gainey Ryan McDonough. And I think it mostly had to do because P.K. Subban had really become the darling of the Canadian organization, even though I think he was picked. I think McDonough was picked before Subban was, as far as their organization goes. I don't know. I don't remember exactly. But so John, he put his money down. He wound up, he went in the heydays of Panini, when Panini was running a show here, not this particular show, but was, I think, had exclusive rights to hockey, which was good and bad. Panini was, I thought they offered some really nice patches and, you know, stuff like that. Although they were horribly marked and numbered, I still have a hard time finding the, if I just go by the numbers or the lettering, whatever it's in the back of the card, to look up the card, it's just all over the place. So they've kind of failed in that regard. You know, they were terrible for people who were into organization. And even if you're selling a card, you know, you want to supply the buyer with the most information that they can so they can look it up. And if they can't look it up, you know, they may be hesitant to buy. Panini was really awful in that. And they did have some really bad products, but they had some good products as well. So anyway, I digress as usual. John put up a couple McDonough cards. He put up his luxury suite rookie, which was a pretty good set, as I remember. I mean, you know, it's been a while since I've dabbled into Panini. It was basically, I think, a two-color patch, numbered to $299. That's booking about $40 right now. So I just want to help John out. I mean, he was good enough to post these and scan these things into Facebook. So, you know, I'm just going to ramble here for a couple seconds. And hopefully he listens to this podcast. Because if he doesn't listen, I'm not going to sit there in the Facebook and quote your prices. You better listen to the podcast. I'm a little agitated. Again, it's warm again. I did the show a couple weeks ago. It was warm and humid, and it's warm and humid now. And I just got back from Vegas where, you know, it was hot there. I'm a little hot under the collar, apparently. So he also put up a really nice card, which I really, really – I was a little bit jealous. I'm going to tell you guys, I go through card envy. If I see somebody has a nice card, I was like, I want that card, man. I got no problems about admitting that to you. I mean, we're amongst friends. He had a luxury suite gold, numbered to 10. Fantastic patch on this card. May have even been a part of the lettering. You know, and that brings me up to another point. By the way, I would probably see that card going for $150. That's how much I thought of it. I mean, if you're going to sell it, you got a price to sell. But if I had to do a roundabout. Now, if you join the Facebook group, you could go and check out the patch and say, hey, $150, Ed. What are you, crazy? I wouldn't pay $150 for this crap. So it's good to have different points of view. So I was going to say something about, oh, yeah, this is a strange thing, with especially with memorabilia and patches especially. A lot of people are, and I would be interested to see how Jeremy feels about this. When you trade a patch card, the value, the book value may be, let's say, for instance, $40. But you might get an unusually great patch for that $40 card. And a lot of people will increase the value of their cards if they're trading it, or just in general, depending on how many colors are in that patch or where the patch is located. Now, on a Facebook page, oh, I don't think I have it. I may not have it, a photo of it anymore. But I had a patch of a Calgary Flame whose name escapes me now. He was a Russian guy from about 3 years ago. I don't even think he's in the league anymore. Anyway, the patch had – there is a – on the shoulder of the Calgary Flames, there is a patch of, I guess, Alberta. or something, and this was a part of that patch. And it was really cool. I mean, it was really cool. So a lot of times, the actual patch and how many colors, where it is, will impact the value. And I think that definitely impacts it. Some people, they don't care. You know, it's got three colors, it's got two colors. It's three colors and a stitching and another color. But I think it does impact, because let's face it, it's a visual hobby. I mean, you know, it's a really big component. So, you know, I think it should impact it. I know people are like stuck on book value for stuff, and then they're not going to waver. But, you know, I think if something is physically attractive, it should fetch a higher price. I mean, I wonder what you guys think about that. Colin in the chat room is now telling me that he's been looking for some cards. Oh, I'm loving the cards with extras. Those mini jersey cards are sick. And I see this one on eBay with a game used stick fragment in there. Awesome. Jeremy says, I am fine paying a premium for trading up for a crazy cool patch. Yeah, I think everybody's in agreement. If you see something you like, you have no problem. I mean, and I don't think many people have a problem with that. I mean, most sane individuals. Actually, most people that are in this chat room listening to this program, I know, are all in agreement, because we're all on the same page. We love hockey card collecting. So we got two of John Newman's cards out of the way. He's got much more to go. I don't know if I want to spend the whole show doing that, but we can. We can later. Now, I looked up what I could see on Upper Deck Series 1, because I think out of all the cards people collect, or the series, or the brand, or the whatever you want to call it, that's the one everybody hones in on. Upper Deck Series 1. People trade it. People want it. They've gotten it every year. They've completed the set every year. Then when Series 2 comes out later in the year, they want that. They want the whole set. They want all the young guns. Everybody, it's a frenzy. The blasters are flying off the freaking the retail stores. They're big in retail. You go to your Walmarts, your Targets, whatever you got in Canada. What do they got in Canada, What do they got in Canada, Jeff, as far as Targets and Walmarts? And I'm sure they have, like, other type of stores, you know, like Henson's. I just made that up. But it could be. Who knows? So Series 1 will be coming out on November 15th. And for you guys, who, you know, Series 1 is not a memorabilia-heavy set. You're going to get, you know, some patch cards. You might catch an autograph. It's more about the young guns. This is something they started in way back. When? Apparently, Target Canada fell in 2015. Fell. It's like almost like it was in a war. Canada fell. It was shot by Canada Walmart. Anyway, so what were we talking about? Oh, yeah. We were on Upper Deck Series 1. Young Guns is the thing, the place, the be. I mean, it's where... This product has sat since 1990. I think I believe so. I was there. I had my Steph Matteau Young Gun Calgary Flames. Yes, and then they had an update release, I think, too, and that's where the Pavel Bure Young Gun was. Him wearing CCCP from the World Juniors. So it has a long tradition of you know, collection. It's a nice sought after subset, I guess. Now the big question is this year. We've got a rookie crop that a lot of people saying the consensus is it's not as great as last year. A lot of people are worried about that, you know, depending on, you know, the prices. You know, are you going to be able to find a guy? Last year, I mean, it was Austin Matthews. I was lucky enough to pull two Austin Matthews. I did keep one, and I did sell one, I think. Later on in Series 2, you had Patrick Laine. There were a lot of good, good rookies last year. The wanting of these cards by the public may not be as much as it was last year. I always seem to get these, and listen, I'm not complaining. I am not complaining. Within this set, there is a subset. Well, I guess subset, but there is a little, I guess it's a subset of Day with the Cup. Now, Day with the Cup is basically the Stanley Cup winner of that year holding the cup, doing whatever he's doing with the cup. If he's Claude Lemieux, he's probably having his dog licking out of the bowl of the Stanley Cup or whatever, using it as a food dish or whatever. We all remember that. Maybe we don't. But they have – now, I'll get back to my complaining. Now, the odds to hit this card are 1 in 2,000 packs. That's pretty tough. I'm not saying it's extraordinary. I mean, the autograph ones are 1 in 16,000 packs. So the last 2 years, I have gotten the Day with the Cup. But I always get like these... I mean, I got Malkin, and then I forgot who else. I got like a kind of a... I forgot. But the cards don't really have like a big market value. You would think that the card, but I guess because it only, you know, if you're a Pittsburgh fan, you want that card. But, you know, if you're an Avalanche, a Leaf, Detroit Red Wing, Buffalo Sabre fan, what the hell do you want with a Malkin holding the cup card? So I guess maybe that explains why it doesn't sell, I think, as much as, you know, comparative to, you know, the high chance of you getting it. So that's just my beef, my own personal beef. All right. So let's see what else we got here. Oh, wait. Jeremy says he pulled one 2014, I think. See, yeah, Victor Stahlberg. There you go. That's what I ran in with the other thing. It was like some, like, you know, periphery guy. You know, I couldn't get Crosby, no, or like Victor Stahlberg was Chicago. So, you know, you couldn't get Taves or Kane or Keith. No, you got Victor Stahlberg, who Ranger fans are still mourning. No, I'm only kidding about that. Victor has gone on to brighter and bigger things. So... It's funny when you collect, because it's also, why does it seem that you get like certain players over and over again? I remember one year I got Brian Little like 400 times. I was like, I can't get rid of this guy. He's everywhere. Brian Little here, Brian Little there. It was like he was chasing me. Yes. Great Brian Little. He's turned out to be a decent hockey player. But, you know, I didn't need to see him. And then last year, with Austin Matthews, and you had Nylander, you had Kapanen, you had Marner. Every time I saw a Maple Leaf, I thought I was getting something good, and it wound up being some stiff. Like, I need to see Matt Hunwick. I mean, I appreciate Matt Hunwick, but I was looking for that rookie. I was looking for the golden ticket. Oh, it just didn't happen. You know, it always seems like you remember the things that kind of the shaft. You don't remember your great victories as much. At least that's the way it works with me. So it's amazing the emotions you have when you go through this stuff. But that's part of the game. That's one of the good things about collecting. Now, Colin, I wanted to ask you. I know you're not on the phones here. Let me see. We got no phone. Oh, by the way, I didn't give the phone number. That's probably why they're in a. And now, Connor, you're not. Colin, you're not obliged to call. I'm just giving out the number. If you would like to call the Rock'em Sock'em Hockey Card Podcast, you can dial your phone, your rotary phones, 1-818-514-1046. That's right. That number again, 1-818-514-1046. 1-818-514-1046. Okay. So we talked about the EPAC. We've talked about Upper Deck. I saw the designs for Upper Deck Young Guns. Oh, I don't know. I have problems with things new. I always get used to the design. I don't know if any of you else. I don't like script on my card. Like the font, it's in cursive. Like Young is in print, and then Guns is in cursive. And I don't like that mix. I forgot what year it was. Maybe in the early 2000s. Let me see. Check it out. It was an awful Young Guns design. It looked like some kind of Western, Old West type of thing. Let me see. I'm going to just punch it up here. Talks amongst yourselves. I'll give you a topic. The Tampa Bay Lightning. Are they going to be good this year? Can Vasilevskiy be good? All right. Now it looks like '07-'08, I believe it is. Yes, his Upper Deck card. It was on the 2007-2008 Upper Deck had like a Western font. I don't even know how to describe this thing. It was just not good. It's not good. Listen, it may not be, it may be just like a thing with me that I'm just not used to it. It's something different, but, you know, I'm all about fonts like, Brick from the Middle. If any of you people watch that show. So now I've been talking about the Upper Deck products in the first three shows, and I'd like to give a shout out, a welcoming of another product that's out there. Upper Deck is officially licensed by the NHL. There is another product that I believe is licensed by the Players Association, but not by the NHL. And that company is called Leaf. And Leaf produces a couple different products, but primarily, their go-to product is a product called In the Game. I am not proficient at Leaf products. If there's anybody out there that can help me out with Leaf, in the game, especially. I have several in the game cards. I really like them. The only issue I have with them is that you are not going to see your team's logo anywhere on the player. The memorabilia is top notch. It's very nice. It's much better than Upper Deck's products. It's a little bit more reasonable in the game. But if you, for instance, you're a Penguin fan, you're going to see your player wearing a white jersey with yellow sleeves with a black trim, but no logo. And they have a product out right now called In the Game Used. I don't know too much about it, but I think, you know, I would. All right, somebody said Collins listed some of the Upper Deck Young Guns. He's already deemed them as ghastly. Let's see. They show some of the older Young Guns. Oh boy. And they made some mistakes there. Yes. Linking me up. I did like the 2012-13 ones, and I did like the 15-16. Yeah, see how that Guns, the Young Guns for 17-18 has got like that cursive and then like a, I don't know what you call that font before that. I should know my fonts, but I don't. Hopefully once I get these suckers in my hand, I won't care what they look like. Good to see some new faces. And I know Brian Little won't be in one of the Young Guns. Yeah, that's that. Yeah, Colin has put up a link in the chat room. And I want to remind you people, if you want to come, we have a live chat room that is rocking. It is rolling as we speak. You can listen to it on podcast. That's great too. But interaction is always the way to go, especially when you're talking about hockey cards. But I appreciate everybody coming. I think, you know, it's the 2008-09. I don't know if you guys can see that. The Young Guns, I just do not like that font. I feel like it's like, what are we going to, this is a Will Smith and Kevin Kline movie? What is this, the Wild Wild West? I don't know. I don't dig that. But I guess it's all personal taste, as they say. So that's not one of my faves. So again, if you want to check out Leaf, I see some really nice stuff from In the Game. But if you're looking for the logo, and I find that In the Game has much better selection of some of the vintage or old school players. Really can't call a person vintage. But, you know, vintage material from some of the older players. You want to see some nice Paul Coffey stuff. You want to see some nice Bjor Salming stuff. You want to see Dave Schultz stuff. I don't know. Whatever you would like to see. They have really nice patches. I've gotten some terrific Phil Esposito stuff from them. And sticks, autos, all kinds of stuff. But mostly in trade. I've never actually bought an in-the-game product. So anybody can glean or impart any knowledge to me as far as that goes. So as I mentioned, next week we're going to have Russ Cohen on. He's going to tell me who to buy in this year's Young Guns crop. Or for me to hope for as I rip these packs up. So we got that. As I mentioned at the beginning of the program, about Sports Card Forum, I'm going to try to have a couple of the people from their hockey site on. I've also talked to Beckett. Beckett would like me to come on and do like a 5-minute segment on their podcast. And we'll see if that comes to fruition. But right now, I'm just very glad that everybody's been so nice. And that's what really it is. I mean, the hockey card collecting and hockey card trading is, you know, very people turn out to be nincompoops. They're very good people. They're down-to-earth people. We like getting stuff in the mail with the traders. It's like Christmas every day. It's like, what did I get? And, of course, you run into a couple stiffs here and there, but primarily that goes for any hobby if you're trading, whether it be comic books. And speaking of which, I've been cleaning out one of the sections of my houses, and houses. It sounds like a multi-billionaire. I found like all kinds of kind of memorabilia stuff, and I found a comic book, and I was all jazzed. I was like, oh boy, this is gonna be worth money. I'm holding it right now. It's August 3rd, 1982. 60 cents. A Marvel Superhero Contest of Champions. Thought this was going to work big bucks. Bubkiss, as they say. Or Bubkiss, as they say. Didn't get that. I thought that was going to be worth big bucks. I find an Elvis pin. I know I'm getting a little off the track. I find an Elvis pin from 1956. 1956! What is that? 44? It's the 61? 44? It's the, what, 61 years ago? Nothing. I wouldn't say zero. It was like $30 I saw it on eBay. I'm like, this is from 1956. Apparently Elvis ain't that big anymore. Well, I came back from Vegas. He's still big. I also found some baseball cards, but they turned out, apparently, I think it was my mom saved these post. I don't know if you guys remember this. The post cereal used to come with cards, and you could make a set. And I think I got. I don't know what year this is, but I got like a Dave Justice rookie. They're completely worthless. Completely worthless. Anyway, I went off the rails there a little bit, but that's the way it works around here. And speaking of hockey cards, the whole show's about hockey cards. The number again to call in. Now, I know Chris Kropanis could not join us today. He likes to come in and chat with us. Chris is in Vegas right now for work. So, we miss you, Chris, but we love your enthusiasm. The number again is 1-818-514-1046. That's that. Let's see what else that I have on the agenda that I wanted to talk. Oh yeah, also Black Diamond. They kind of reversed the order of it. Always Black Diamond always came out before Upper Deck. This year it seems like they're messing with a little bit with the release schedules and kind of mixing it up. So they're doing that. And what have you. So it's going to be Black Diamond. Looks like it's going to be about 2 weeks later after Upper Deck Series 1. So I guess I wanted to talk about maybe perhaps the what would you guys prefer to collect? Are you a collector that is going to collect a certain player? Are you going to collect a certain team? Are you going to collect a certain subset? Are you all over the place? Are you one of those guys that has to have every card printed? Are you a guy just, I want every rookie card of the guy? Are you a person that doesn't want the card of, let's say he plays for your team and then he gets traded. Are you more apt to trade or sell that guy because he's no longer on your favorite team? I mean, today's game, players aren't around as long as they used to be. I mean, if you come in on an ELC and then you wind up getting a bridge contract. You know, he may have five, six years, but then you may go on to another team and then he's gone. Or your guy could be traded, like the aforementioned John Newman, who put a lot of stock in Derek Stepan, got a lot of cards in. Now he's on Arizona. And do you sell? You trade? What do you? You keep him? I mean, I don't know. I don't know where people stand. It'd be interesting to find. What their preference is. So it depends. You know, it depends on what you feel. I personally, I like to collect Rangers. I mean, I like to collect my team. I have certain favorites on the team. I like to collect them. It feels like I have personal stock in them, which is really weird. I have like this transference thing that, for instance, my player scores that somehow in my lunatic fringe mind that his card now will go up by 0.3 cents, which is just ridiculous, but it makes me happy. It's almost like fantasy sports, like fantasy hockey. I know a lot of people had a lot of their fantasy hockey drafts this week. I participated in one. And that was the thing I was kind of bantering around about. You know, there's so many things encompassing hockey and hobbies, whether it's jersey collecting, whether it's fantasy hockey, whether it's hockey cards, whether it's people who collect hockey pucks, just autographs, through the mail, McFarlane's, all this stuff that I'm thinking about kind of putting into this show. Because, I mean, talking about these sets and the cards, I love talking about. But I think to really bring a really solid community of hobby enthusiasts, it might be the way to go. I mean, keep it primarily cards, but there are so many different aspects. I mean, this game is just – this hockey is just such a wonderful sport. I can't watch baseball. It's boring to me. Hockey, even in, when I had watched my Rangers lose to Jeremy's beloved Avalanche, that game was exciting. It was up and down, and goalies are making saves. And, besides the refs trying to destroy the game with these stupid penalties, I mean, we go through it every year, hockey fans, with this nonsense. At the beginning of the year, they're enforcing everything, and it's just so stupid. You can't even tap anybody anymore. I mean, it's just ticky-tack. It ruins the game. And then, if you've got a player that's on a 9-game tryout and he doesn't kill penalties, well, you know what? You don't really get a chance to see him and see what kind of impact he could have. It's just bad all around. Jeremy, Paul Stastny was a guy I really thought that he would emerge even bigger than he actually did. Jeremy's bringing him up. He's certainly a really good player. And, you're like me. Jeremy's exactly, he's current roster crazy. I'm like that too. I got everybody on the current roster. Well, to an extent. It's not like I'm going to go out and get Rick Nash cards because he's going to be gone at the end of the year. But, and I've never really taken to him for some reason. But the younger guys I have to have. It's like I'm physically investing in them. It's a weird dynamic. And like I said, with the fantasy hockey, it's kind of like you take ownership of them even though you have absolutely no ownership. You're like, yeah, Sean Monahan scored tonight. Yeah. All right, you make some advances in your fantasy league, but these are the little things that make us happy. And, in a world full of strife and crapola, listen, we find a little pleasure in a hobby that's fairly innocuous. It's all good with me. That's why we're all here. Jeremy's also saying that he doesn't acquire Duchesne anymore. Yeah, he played a decent game the other night, but yeah, it's a matter of time with him too. He's squabbling with management, and the management doesn't seem happy with him, and there's a whole thing going on there. I'm sure you know better than I do. But yeah, you know, it's a matter of time. You know, these guys are going to be gone. And but there are people that just, they collect every guy. I mean, I have people trade with, they trade for the most obscure guys on their team. You know, you got a Capitals fan who wants, you know, all the Carl Alsners. You know, okay, have a party, you know. So, you know, it's all good in our neighborhood because it's all fun. And speaking of fantasy leagues, again, like I mentioned, I like some of these. I went all younger in my fantasy league. I really did not want guys that have been hanging around for years. I wanted more of guys who had a lot of upside. And I guess that's what I look for in cards as well. And I actually wound up picking a lot of guys whose cards I liked from last year. Who did I pick? Sebastian Aho. I picked Matthew Tkachuk. I wound up getting Connor McDavid, which I had the first pick. So I was happy about that. But I feel like I'm investing in these guys. I don't know. It's a weird dynamic. I may have to spend some extra time on the psychiatrist's couch to work that one out. Let's see what Colin's saying. If a player switches a team and wins the cup, I know it depends on the collector, but does the value drop that much for his card from the first team? When Derek Stepan wins the cup with the Coyotes, okay. For example, will his Ranger cards be worth as much as those? That's an interesting question. I guess it depends. Like, this is a Carl Hagelin question. Carl Hagelin was a New York Ranger. He then went to Anaheim, and then he won two Stanley Cups with the Pittsburgh Penguins. Now, Carl Hagelin, I think in last year's Stanley Cup was not really a main component of their Stanley Cup. He may have been a healthy scratch in the playoffs a couple times. I would say they're a little bit more sought after, but if they're not a main cog, now it'd be interesting to see how Phil Kessel's cards, since he's now won a couple cups with Pittsburgh, he started off with the Bruins, then to the Leafs, and then to Pittsburgh, where they're his cards. He's played a pretty good role. I would think, as far as book value goes, probably not. Unless you're winning several and you're on the open market when you're selling, that's a different thing. People will now start to say, listen, I love this Carl Hagelin. He's skating all over the place, two cups with him. He's a good role player, you know. So I think, yes, I think on the open market, you will get when you're selling a card, you probably will get more. I don't think with the trader, when you're trading, it has much to do with it. Unless you become just a super fan. I don't know. If Paul Stastny wins a Stanley Cup with St. Louis this year, do his cards go up? Probably not book value wise. If he scores the game winner in game seven, that could affect, I mean, that certainly could affect, the card in the open market when you're selling it. I mean, it's kind of a prestige thing. And it depends what market you're in too, because a lot of these, like, you know, if I know this will never happen, but say Jonathan Huberdeau scores the Game 7 winning goal for the Florida Panthers, who's buying that card? They can't even get 4,000 people at their arena. So how many people are collecting cards out of those 4,000? It depends. Now, if it was Cutter's beloved Maple Leafs and it was Mitch Marner scoring that Game 7 goal, you better believe his cards are going to go up, probably book value as well, because there are so many collectors out there. And right now, they're pretty good, at least on the Beckett side, with the real-time pricing. They're watching eBay pretty closely to see what's being sold out there. They're factoring that into their pricing more than ever. Whether a lot of it's fair or it's not, I don't know. You know, it's not for me to say. I just work here. You know, I abide by the whatever they say. Well, I don't abide by it, but I use it as a guideline. I'm a slave to nobody. Except to maybe Diet Pepsi, which is quenching my thirst right now. Okay. Now, what else did I have to talk about here? I feel like I'm kind of running out of gas, but I'm not. I still want to talk. I still want to talk about hockey. I'm just so glad hockey is back. Like I said, some high-scoring games. We'll go back to Upper Deck. Looks like they're going to stay with the same kind of they got some new options. They've got the Centennial Standouts, 1-in-5 packs. I don't know, that could be annoying. They're going to have photo variations, 1-in-1,000 packs, and something called the Second Six, which is 1-in-1,000 packs. I wonder if that has to do with the expansion, that happened after the original six. What's the first expansion, 68 or 72? Both. Not sure. Somebody in the chat room helped me out with that. They win. You score. I don't know. So maybe somebody. Jeff, help me out with that. You're my resident historian. Hysterical historian. Anyway, so that may include that. They've got a gold foil, which I think is numbered to 99 or 25, which that was, well, gold foil 99, those used to be exclusives. I don't know what. And platinum blue. But again, there'll be clear-cut superstars returns, clear-cut honored members update, clear-cut leaders, clear-cut foundations, Upper Deck Canvas is back. And it's funny, Upper Deck Canvas, basically, it used to be Upper Deck Masterpiece. They used to have a line called Upper Deck Masterpiece. And they were just like cards that look like art. Basically, they had like these little groovy lines in there. And basically, they just stopped making Upper Deck Masterpiece and made it Upper Deck Canvas subset in the Upper Deck Series 1 and Series 2. So apparently, if you go out and buy one of these hobby boxes, you go down to Izzy's Sports Card and Hempstead Turnpike, like I'll be doing, go down to see Izzy. You will get in a one hockey hobby box break, according to their promotional letter here. Upper Deck says you will get 6 Young Guns, 5 Brian Littles, 4 to 5 Centennial Standouts, 4 Upper Deck Canvas inserts, 4 Upper Deck Portraits inserts. Why? Why with those portraits? I just don't get it. I don't want a black and white card of somebody. It's just stupid. 3 Shining Stars inserts. They could be the blue. And it's just one Shining Stars red parallel. So that's what you could be looking for as far as that goes for the upper deck. So we pretty much covered all the bases for today's show. I want to thank everybody for joining in, participating, helping me out in that chat room with your questions as usual. You guys rocked it. You rolled it. And we have come to the end of another broadcast. Big ups to Jeremy. Big ups to Jeff. Big ups to Colin Cook. Big ups to Scott, Sports Card Forum. I'm going to have those people in. Next week we'll have Russ Cohen in this, up in this hizzy. I'll be linking some of the books in the Facebook group. Join that Facebook group. I'll get to more John Newman's pricing next week. You can take all those Stepan cards and trade them and get rid of them because they're garbage. Sorry, my Ranger venom coming out there. I want to see more people in this chat room. I appreciate everybody's here. Who's listening? Come back next time. Listen live. Interact. It's all about hockey. I love hockey. I've even got love for Islander fans on this show. This is how much love I'm trying to spread here. So take care, everybody, and I'll see you on the other side of next week. Saturday at 2 p.m., Lord willing. Good night, everybody. Take care. Thank you.